Welcome again to Edge of the Rabbit Hole. Author and ghost historian Mike Ricksecker here with you, as well as my co-hostess Vanessa Hogel, with another rabbit pellet this Monday morning. A little something extra down at the bottom of the rabbit hole. Brought to you by Haunted Road Roast. It helps you hunt ghosts. Today we are going to be talking about dreams. This one, Vanessa and I kind of switch off back and forth week to week as to the topic that we are going to talk about. And so this one Vanessa chose, which is really interesting because I kind of consider dreams my superpower. You can laugh, which I kind of laugh at it as well, but I don't ever consider myself psychic. I'll say I have a few things going on, maybe. Dreams happens to be one of them, so Vanessa bringing up this topic will be really interesting. So Vanessa, fire away, because you brought this one up.
I really did, and I think it's a topic in this particular field that gets overlooked for the most part, because it's, let's face it, it's not as sexy as, you know, hey, I was in this abandoned place and a demon attacked me. But it's very important, very pertinent to research and investigation, because so much of the communication that we get can come through a dream state, especially if you're somebody like myself who's a remote viewer and I'm expected to go to a location in a couple of weeks. A lot of the information I get will come to me through dreams. I know similar things have happened with you and with quite a few people that we know, and I just wonder why people kind of poo-poo it away. They don't talk about it very much, and I wonder why.
Yeah, I think it's because it's kind of quote-unquote not scientific, so it's not something that you can, you know, use a gadget to measure, or, you know, anybody in a scientific field is going to, like you said, kind of immediately poo-poo it away. But I think we forget that a lot of times the ancients, when they were making these decisions or doing their own research, they would reference dreams a lot. And I think that gets forgotten, that, you know, so-and-so here or so-and-so there, you know, they went out and, you know, conducted a battle in a specific way because they had a dream about it the night before and they won the battle. But yet in today's day and age, we have put that by the wayside because it's a superstitious thing or what have you.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. Not being a historian like you, I do know of some stories, like with Julius Caesar. I believe it was his wife who had tried to warn him about his impending death, you know, through a dream that she had, and he didn't listen. And well, I mean, we all know how that turned out.
Yeah, and you see that throughout history where dreams came as warnings, and you can even, you know, give it whatever credence you want, but, you know, you can even go back into, like, the Bible and Joseph and his dreams that he interpreted for the Pharaoh and how those were premonitions of things to come. And, you know, people kind of scoff at that. I mean, a lot of people scoff at the Bible stories anyway, but there are other moments throughout history, like you mentioned with Julius Caesar, where these things happened. And I mean, I for one can attest to, yeah, you can have premonitions within dreams, because it's happened to me. And it's nothing significant, like, you know, there's going to be a famine or there's going to be a battle, but, you know, just having a dream about a paranormal investigation in a specific haunted house that we were going to, and, you know, all of a sudden 3 months later we're there in front of the house and the layout's exactly the same, the people that were there are exactly the same, and, you know, the having the exact same walkthrough and seeing some different things, it's like, okay, this is pretty wild now that I'm actually having a premonition like this.
Absolutely. And I think because it's such an individual experience, that's probably why people don't put, you know, a lot of weight on it, as far as the paranormal community goes. But it is extremely important. It's extremely informative. The majority of information that I get for readings, you know, especially remote viewing or investigations on locations, comes from that. You know, it's happened many, many, many times. And
I think, like I said in the beginning, because it isn't sexy, because it's not spooky or something like that, like you said, it's not like a major flood or famine or anything, that people don't consider it, you know, it to be important, or they don't consider it paranormal. I find that part fascinating, because to me, it epitomizes paranormal. It's not your standard. It's not your standard to have a dream of a place you've never been, and then all of a sudden you're there and everything is identical, like you said. That's not normal. It's paranormal.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that anybody could just make up and create. And I think we've all experienced, you know, when we were little kids, that you know, somebody ad-libbing a dream. You know, I remember my sister and I would kind of go back and forth sometimes, and oh, I had a dream. And like, we would tell a little story from it, and then we would embellish that along the way to make it this great fantastical thing. And so I think there's part of that that's with us later in life, that when somebody starts talking about, well, I had a dream about this, and immediately people are just like, oh yeah, okay, right. And you know, because it's nothing that you can prove, really, because you don't have a video recorder in your head that's taping all of this. So it's, people have to like really, really trust exactly what you're saying that was in your mind, you know. And it's kind of the one moment where, you know, not being a psychic medium, that I have kind of experienced, you know, what a psychic medium does, in that, you know, I'm stating, hey, this came into my head, and people giving me that look like, yeah, right.
Exactly. Well, and that's one of the reasons why I do things kind of the way that I do. When I have one of those dreams that I know isn't specific to me, I know it's not meant for me, but for whatever reason I was meant to know about it, I'll put it on social media. I'll wake up the next morning and I'm like, I have no idea what this means, but I dreamed this last night, and this is what happened. And if this pertains to anybody and it's important to you, or it works for your situation, just know that the universe put something out there for me to see it. Here you go.
So let me throw out a couple other things here. Because not only have I had premonitions with dreams before, like I said, dreams are kind of my superpower here. I also believe that I have had a vision of a past life, and in fact, a past death within a dream of mine, in which I was out in a jungle in the middle of a battle, and all of a sudden, while I'm, you know, trying to shoot the bad guys across the jungle, there's somebody who comes right up in front of me, point blank, with a pistol to my head, pulled the trigger, and all of a sudden I saw all these crazy, vivid colors, almost like a kaleidoscope of bright, vivid colors. And then moments later, I'm back in the jungle. There's nobody around. It's completely empty. It's almost as if the battle didn't happen, or maybe it happened long ago and everybody's gone. I kind of knew there that I had died, you know. And this was a dream that I had when I was a kid. I told this dream to a friend of mine, when I was older. I was, probably at 6 months out of high school or whatever. And, you know, we're just having dinner, and I'm telling her the story, and there was somebody at a table nearby that came up and was like, you know, I don't ever really do this, but I heard your story, and, you know, I want you to give me a call, you know, because I think it has some significant meaning. I never called him. I was only 18 at the time, and I was like, you know, kind of freaked out about this strange guy coming up to approach me like this. You know, but I think that was truly a vision of a past life.
I agree completely. I think you saw your death. And I think you saw when you came back to revisit the place that you died. Yeah. I believe that's what that was.
And
you know, the kaleidoscope of colors indicates a time change, but it doesn't let you know how long the time difference was in between the two.
Yeah, I have no idea about that, but it makes sense that it would have been something like perhaps the life before this one, because I was born in 1974. You know, there was something known as Vietnam going on at the time. So if this previous life was in that war and died in that war, you know, it would make sense, okay, maybe a year or 2 years, whatever, afterward, that I'm reincarnated as Mike Ricksecker.
I agree completely. It does make perfect sense to me. You know, I've had something similar where I saw my death as well. I saw myself being hung. And I mean, at first, before they hung me, I was in that body. I was in that body running, you know, and I hit my head, felt the pain of it. The next thing I know, I'm outside of that body watching them hang the body I was just in. So a little bit different, but similar, much the same. I mean, I saw them kill me. I didn't have to be in the body for it to happen, but I saw it happen. So, I mean, that's, to me, that's exactly what you experienced. And I think that basically what it was like I said, you were killed. You came back. You saw where you died. You reincarnated. You're who you are now, but you retained that memory. It just came to you in dream state. And a lot of people have that happen, but they disregard it, thinking it was just a crazy dream. When it actually, it's information. It's letting you know about yourself. It's a tidbit of a previous life.
Yeah, I think a lot of times in the dream state, we are getting information. There is an information flow through the energy of the universe. You know, everything's connected. There is a energetic flow from person to person, from between the people and the universe, between people and objects, between people and other living things. And I think that we're picking up on a lot of these different things. Some of them, I think, are memories that are out there that we can tap into. And in the dream state, you know, since we are relaxed, we're meditative, that we're able to tap into a lot of these things. And let me ask you this. In the dream state, could we, because Shauna and I are going to talk about this on Tuesday on Inside the Upside Down, is it possible in the dream state to time travel?
I absolutely believe that it is. I absolutely believe that it is, because here's the thing, and this is why I think people have such a difficulty believing in time travel, is because we as humans here on this earth, in the time that we're in right now, we assimilate everything with the physical body that we're in. Everything that has to do with our life is based on the physical body that we're in, when time travel can simply be energy travel. Maybe we have a different body in a different, like a parallel universe. Maybe we have, because, you know, we've talked about this on previous shows, how, you know, scientists have kind of proven that time is layered. Maybe we're somebody else and we share the energy from this body to that body. We don't know how it all works, but I believe that it is completely possible. I've been to too many places that don't exist in this life for me to think anything different.
Yeah, I have a lot of my own theories on what I call a stacked time theory, and I've had it out there for several years now, which, doing my own research along the way, it's ironically enough, a modification of Einstein's space-time theory. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, Einstein already came up with this, but I came up with it on my own too. So I'm like, oh, I'm as smart as Einstein.
Exactly. I'm gonna start calling you Einstein now. Hide and watch.
Yeah, there we go.
I'm gonna do it.
Yeah, not really, but it's funny enough. But, and maybe we'll wrap up the show on this rabbit pellet. There are a lot of theories out there, and I really adhere to it, that time is just an illusion. We are seemingly stuck in what we call this river of time, but I don't think it truly exists. Time is just a man-made construct to explain this reality that we're currently in. But if you pull back that construct, I think we will discover that time doesn't really exist. And perhaps it's through the dream state. It's one of these methods in which we're able to go ahead and pull back that layer and see things the way they really are.
I agree completely. I agree absolutely completely. When it comes to days of the week, when it comes to the time on a clock, all of that is man-made in the bodies that we're in today. That's all of that is man-made. And since we can't say with any certainty where we come from, what dimension, what universe, what planet, when it comes right down to the nitty-gritty of it, we don't know. This is all, you know, it's all a guessing game.
Yeah, it really is.
I believe that that is completely possible. I really, truly do.
Yeah, it's a lot of it's a guessing game. There's a lot of theories out there that people will staunchly cite as fact. And it's like, well, step back a little bit. It's really just a theory. And we have just accepted that theory as a sort of truth right now, but you still can't really prove it.
Exactly. Life is a theory.
Absolutely. So, all right, we'll go ahead and wrap it up on that. Go ahead and shoot us any questions that you may have on any of these topics that we are covering through the rabbit pellet, and maybe we can go ahead and answer some of those questions for you on future rabbit pellets. Of course, please go ahead and follow us out on whichever podcast platform that you are currently listening to, and please go ahead and subscribe for the full Edge of the Rabbit Hole episodes on the Haunted Road Media YouTube channel, which is at youtube.com/Haunted Road Media. Vanessa, thank you for the wonderful topic, and have a fantastic evening.
You too. I'll see you Tuesday.
All right. Till next time.